Your giving is a spiritual sacrifice, not just a material offering, saith God. Yea, for when it is given from the heart, it becomes something spiritual, even a sweet-smelling savor unto me. Yea, saith the Lord, and I will bless you, and I will keep you, and I will show you my glory, because you have shown me your love in a tangible way, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Somebody give Him praise. Amen. He'll honor you because you've honored Him today. And Sean is coming with a smile to do this morning. I don't like the idea of taking an offering. I like for people to do it the way God said to do it. And then He can bless it. Praise God. How many people here today that you believe that by the grace of God you are what you are?
Amen.
As well. How many have ever stood on a mountaintop of faith and seen God move? How many has ever been down in a deep, dark valley and cried unto the Lord and seen God move?
Amen.
I want to dispel some misconceptions today, and I want to take our text from Psalm 34, verse 15 through 19. And we're going to read this in just a moment, but I want to dispel some things first. Some things that will hinder you from faith, and that is that you have to be on a mountaintop and have great faith to get God to respond to you. And until you are on that mountaintop exhibiting that great faith, that God will not respond to you. Amen. Because that's the other side of the coin. And nothing could be farther from the truth. God loves you. And the scripture we're about to read says His eyes are on the righteous. You don't have to get His attention with your faith. You have His attention because you have His heart. Amen. Can you say amen? Everybody say, I have His heart. That's why His eyes are upon you. Amen. In fact, I'm going to read this, and then we're going to dispel some of these. And we're going to watch about a three-minute video, too, because I'm a product of grace. Amen. I remember coming out from a funeral when I was going through terrible nerve problems myself. It runs in my family, but God is good, and I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, but only through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That is not a declaration of our greatness or our great faith, but the graciousness of our great God. Can you say amen? Through Christ who strengthened us. And when does He strengthen us? His strength is perfected how? In weakness. That's why the Bible said in the old covenant, my strength to them that hath no might, He increases strength. Can you say amen? So if there's anyone standing strong today, exhibiting that strength of God, it is because of His grace.
Amen.
Because of His mercy. It's not because of your great faith. Oh, let me just dispel. I said I was going to read. Let me read. Psalm 34, 15 through 19. I am so full today, amen, of grace and mercy. Hallelujah. I want to just rejoice before Him. If I could, I'd just stop right now and just dance before the Lord. Amen. Not because I feel strong today, but because I feel supported today by the grace of God and the mercy of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to not have to be strong. I'm so glad that underneath, amen, where you put the pillow when you're learning how to skate, can you say amen? If I ever tried to learn how to skate as uncoordinated as I am, I would have to tie a pillow to my posterior. Amen. I dare not go out there without a... We used to go skating at the Holy Church of God with the young people. I never went because I knew Ditter would laugh at me when I fell on my posterior. Can you say amen? And I would injure myself and should still be laughing, amen, at me. Amen. But I would have to put a pillow, and then wouldn't I be something? Amen. Who is that with the pillow strapped to his behind? Oh, that's our pastor. He gonna fall. Can you say amen? Praise God. But underneath, where we need it supportively, underneath, always in the supportive sense, are the everlasting arms. God said, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And when I first read that, I could see me falling under the load and God reaching down and picking me up and holding me like this and supporting me while we walk together. But on a deeper study of the Hebrew, I found out that word uphold means to pick up. It's not helping me to stand, adding His strength to my weakness so I'm semi-strong. No, it's completely supported by Him. Everybody say, completely supported by Him. Wow. See, we would rather think of it as our faith and He just comes alongside and upholds us by just supporting us while we walk. No, He picks us up. It means to pick up from the earth. Uphold means to pick up from the earth. It's cliche, but footprints does speak a truth about that very scripture. Guy's walking along, he sees one set of footprints, you know it. It's embroidered, it's in everywhere you look, and he's whining like we have a tendency to do when we don't feel like God. We feel weak and feel like heaven is brass, and he's whining. Well, I looked on the shore and there's one set of footprints. You said you'd never leave me, and you know the story where God says that's because I'm carrying you. Of course, in my version, there's doofus at the end of it. Can you say amen? Doofus, amen. Don't you understand that you're where you are because I'm carrying you? Don't you get it? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not walking beside you, holding you up. I'm carrying you. Those aren't your feet print with mine missing. These are mine with yours missing because I'm carrying you. Amen. Everybody say doofus. Don't you understand? Don't you get it? Amen. Everybody likes to think their great faith is bringing them all these great things from God.
Amen.
But the Bible used great faith two times. And twice when Jesus, I believe Jesus ought to interpret what is great about faith. And when faith is great. I don't believe somebody that wrote a book on their mountain moving faith and showing us their cars and watches and things have a right to talk to us about great faith. I believe Jesus ought to be the one we listen to. Amen. A centurion comes and says, my servant whom I love like a son is homesick. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And the centurion said, I'm not worthy that you, because he has fought, he shed men's blood for Rome. He's used that short Roman sword to disembowel enemies. And he said, I'm not worthy. I've got blood on my hands, but you're a holy one. I'm not worthy that you should even come into my home. But I'm a man under authority, and I tell men, centurion, mean there was 100 men under his control. Amen. And I tell them to go and they go, and I tell them to come and they come. Amen. All you have to do is speak the word. Amen. He recognized Jesus as one who is under authority. But because he was under authority, he was granted great authority. Amen. And Jesus said to this man who exhibited such humble dependency, what did he say to him? Great is your faith. I have not found faith like this, not even out of the disciples. Wow. No, not in all of Israel. Can you say amen? I haven't found faith like this. And what kind of faith was it? Was it this faith? Amen. I see that all the time and I want to say, quit your crowing. You are what you are by the grace of God. God pulled the grace out from under you. It'd be like pulling that rug out from under you right now. And what would happen if we pulled a rug out from under that preacher? He'd fall flat on his face. Can you say amen? 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 Without the grace of God, there's no way anybody's going to stand. If he didn't hear our cry down in those valleys, no one can live on the mountaintop. But we got a God that will listen even when we're in the valley. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Great faith is about humble dependency. It's not about standing on the mountain talking about your faith. It's about down in the valley talking about your God. Can you say, man, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lay down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside still water. It's all Him, David said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil because I got great faith. No, because thou art with me. Can you say, man, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Praise God, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. When this life is over, he's with me throughout all this life. And when it's over, I'm going to dwell in his house forever and forever and forever. Praise God. Great is thy faith. How was it exhibited? In a sense of humble dependency. Say it with me, humble dependency. It's only one other occasion. And he said, I haven't found faith like this in all of Israel. Can you say amen? Great is thy faith. A woman who is not a Jew, she comes to Jesus, said, My daughter layeth home vexed of the devil. Jesus said, it's not meet to give the children's bread to dogs. How insulting. Can you say amen?
Amen.
What an insult. You know what she does with that insult?
Yes, sir.
Because he's testing her faith. She worships him, saying, true, Lord. In other words, I'm not of the covenant people. I can't claim the covenant yet. Amen. He hadn't been to the cross. The Gentiles were not grafted in. She had no covenant with God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He said, this is children's bread. But let me tell you something. There is such thing as children's bread.
That's right.
And after the cross, amen, we got grafted into the true vine and the blessings of Abraham came upon us. And we are the children of Abraham. And we are the children of the Most High God. But this woman wasn't one of those like we are. But she said, she worshiped him saying, true, Lord. But even the dogs, everybody say humble dependency.
Humble dependency.
Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Hallelujah. He said, woman, great is thy faith. We need to redefine great faith because we think it's a flashy preacher driving a big car. Crowing like a rooster. Can you say amen? See, what the rooster don't know is he can crow all he wants, but when she comes around the mountain, what are they going to do with the old red rooster?
Kill
him. We will kill the old red rooster when she comes. Amen. Listen, the devil don't mind all that crowing. He understands faith too. He knows the pride of man brings the resistance of God. It's the humble that he hears. That's why there's something about the cry. I cried unto the Lord. I don't mean whine. I've heard whiny praying. God doesn't respond to it. In fact, it turns me off even when I do it.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
It makes me sick of me when I do it. And I say, hush, Bobby. Don't pray like that. You're whining. Amen. Pray. Crying to the Lord. Crying unto the Lord is an act of humble dependency. And you can cry unto him in the deepest valley and God will listen. David said, I cried unto the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen?
That's how you manage fear. Everywhere it says fear not, it doesn't mean that you'll get to the point where you're never afraid. If I get a phone call that my wife was in a horrible accident, she's in intensive care and they don't know if she's going to live or die, I'm going to tell you that's going to shake me to the core. If you get a same thing about one of your children, you don't just walk along and say, well, nothing bothers me. Remember that phase? It's still out there, but it didn't hook up very well. Amen. That phase that Christianity went through in hyper faith that said, oh, I don't have any problems. All that I have is tiptoe through the window, through the willow, in the willow trees and tiptoe. I mean, that's so crazy. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Amen. I will. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. What do? We run to it. Why do we run? Are we running from the devil? No, we understand our only safety and security is in him. We're not foolish people. It's not a weak thing to run to God. It's a wise thing to run to God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I like Stuart Briscoe has a ministry untarnished. He has a marriage, amen, that has stood the test of time. And people, he speaks in conferences. He's from England, he and his wife. They speak at conferences all over. And they ask Stuart because there's, especially when all so many evangelists were falling. Can you say amen? In spite of all the crowing and all of the proud speaking about their faith. Stuart was standing because he wasn't crowing. And so they wanted to know, how are you standing? He said, I make no bones about it. When the temptation comes, when the pressures get great, I go into my living room, I close the blinds, I draw the curtains, I fall on my face, prostrate before the Lord, and I cry unto Him for help. And He gives grace sufficient to me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We got this down to little faith formulas where you don't humble yourself and depend that much on God, and you just confess it because your words, you're in the God class. No, you're not. You're flesh and blood, flesh and bone. You're not in the God class. You can't create anything.
Amen.
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 Create problems, yeah. Hallelujah. But you didn't really make them out of nothing. You did things that set things in motion. We're not in the God class. Don't want to be. I don't want to have that on me.
Amen.
Amen. I'd rather be in the clay class and let Him be in the stay in the God class. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm glad I got a God to call on when I'm in trouble. I'm glad I don't have to try to pull myself up by my own faith out of some dark valley. I'm glad I got a God that reaches way down. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? I said I got a God that'll reach way down to lift me up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen, the Bible said in Psalm 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. Can you say amen?
Amen.
She's not whining. But when we cry unto the Lord, He says, I hear that. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. But listen, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Being Christian doesn't mean trouble won't come. In fact, it surely will come.
Amen.
Can you say amen? You live in a fallen world, and you live in a faulty body. Everybody say a fallen world and a faulty body. Things can go wrong in a fallen world, and they will.
Amen.
Things can go wrong in a faulty body, and they will. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's why we have testimonies, because we're tested and God comes through. The Lord is nigh to them. Now, who are these people? They're crying unto Him. He hears their cry. The Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such that is of a contrite spirit. You can't crow about your faith and demonstrate a contrite spirit. It's in brokenness. He said, when you're in brokenness and you're contrite, He that cometh to Me with a broken and contrite spirit, I will in no wise turn away. Can you say amen? How many's ever been in the valley again? How many's ever been in that state of brokenness? But in contrition, you bow before the Lord. My wife said it well the other day to someone she was talking to. She was talking, I think, to Carol in Maine. You know, they're talking on the phone, and I couldn't help but overhear them when I was getting my coffee. I heard my wife telling her, when I'm sick, I forgive everybody. When I'm sick and need God to help me, I forgive everybody. I mean, I get down to business with God. You know what that is? That's contrition. I mean, you know, you get to the point that I don't want anything to keep God from coming through for me. So I'm going to get off my high horse. Can you say amen? I'm going to get down before God, and I'm going to humble myself. Humble dependency is what He called great faith. Because he that cometh to Me with a humble and contrite spirit, I will in what? I will in no wise turn away. Amen. God resists the proud, even if you're proud of your faith, your anointing, or your power. God resists that. But He gives grace to who?
Humble.
The humble. Can you say amen? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. What does He do? And He will exalt you. He will uphold you. Amen. Whatever victories come, He will get the glory. Hallelujah. You won't take it by attributing it to your faith, but to His faithfulness and His grace. Can you say amen? I said His faithfulness and His grace. You didn't hear me. His faithfulness and His grace. I like what Stuart said. I get before God. I lay on my face and I cry unto Him. And He helps me and gives me grace sufficient. Can you say, man, grace sufficient to overcome the temptation? Grace sufficient to go through the test? Whatever it is, God helps me when I cry unto Him. We need to teach more humility and less things that make us more dependent on God. Instead of getting us to the point of faith that we operate, they don't say it in words, but they're taking you to a place where you can operate independent from His grace and mercy. Because the force of faith, they call it a force. And every time I hear them calling faith a force, I think of Yoda instead of Jesus. I think of Star Wars instead of heaven. Can you say, man? The force is not with us, folks. The Father is with us. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Whatever you ask the Father in my name. Not the force of your faith. The faithfulness of the Father. Prayer begins with our force of faith. No, with our Father who art in heaven. Can you say, man? We need humble dependency. We need contrition. God listens to the cry. I cried unto the Lord, David said. And fear had shaken him to his core. And he cried unto the Lord. And he said, He heard me. Isn't that incredible? They say you have to be on some mountaintop of hyper faith to get God to listen. He said you can be in the darkest valley of your life. And you cry unto the Lord and God listens. Because His eyes are upon the righteous. And His ears, they're open to what? Their cry. Can you say amen? And what is He honoring here? Amen. The Lord is nigh. He draws nigh to who? To such that are of a broken heart and to such that are of a contrite spirit. Remember when He purposely tested that lady's faith? He said, it's not meet to give the children's bread to dogs. You're a woman outside the covenant. Looked like He could put it more delicately. Can you say amen? But He put it delicately. Amen. And you know what she did? She showed contrition. And humble dependency. And the Bible said she worshipped Him. And said, true Lord. True. True. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Humble and contrite spirit. What did He say? I will in no wise turn away. Can you say, man, no wise? What was the cry? What was the cry of blind Bartimaeus? What was his cry? Oh, Lord, I've heard about You and I'm standing on Your word. Son of David. Listen to the contrition and the brokenness and dependency. Son of David, have mercy on me. I don't hear any crowing there. Can you say amen? I don't hear anybody presenting their faith. God, look how my faith is so strong. And oh yeah, when he saw their faith, listen, they were tearing, they were just tearing a roof off. They were bold, yes, but they were these were not people crowing about their faith. These were people loving, compassionately, trying to get a friend into the presence of God. Can you say amen? This banty rooster. Oh, it looks good to us because our own pride rises. That's what I won't be. I won't be like him. No, you don't. You want to be like him. Can you say amen? Jesus demonstrated meekness. You know what Moses, what got God's, why did God single Moses out for leadership? And why did God deal with him mouth to mouth? Man, he said, that's exactly right. It was his humility. His contrition. Praise the Lord. He said, other prophets I will speak to in visions and dreams. Not so my servant Moses. To him will I speak to mouth to mouth. There was a tent called the tent of meeting. Moses would go over into that tent set aside for him and God to meet. And that pillar of fire would go over there. And an audible voice would talk in an audible language. And they'd speak back and forth like I'm talking to you. Incredible relationship with God in the old covenant. He said, I won't talk to him in visions and dreams. I'm going to talk to him like this man and I talk. Praise God. And I said, Lord, what's the key to that? Numbers chapter 12 said, now the man Moses was above all of his generation the most meek. Somebody say meek. You don't crow when you're meek. You are bold because God comes through. But every time he comes through, you give him all the glory for it. Can you say, man, you don't give your faith credit, and you don't give your anointing credit, and you don't give your revelation credit, you give your God credit. Remember that old gospel standard? Amen. When you feel a little fire burning, you know a little, when you feel a little prayer wheel churning, you know a little fire is burning. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. How many remember just a little talk with Jesus? There's a verse in there that I love. They would discount it today, but I love it. It's theologically true. He will hear your faintest cry. And he will, why? Because his eyes. Because you have his, listen, you have his heart. Therefore you have his ear. You don't have to get his attention. You've got his attention before you even pray. Amen. And you say, amen. It's not faith that gets his attention. It's your cry.
Yes, sir.
How many in here ever had children? How many still got some children? How many when they were little? How many of you people, dads and moms, how many know the difference in the cry? How many know the cry when somebody takes a toy away from somebody and you tell them this? You say, if you don't hush up, I'm going to give you something to cry about.
That's right.
Amen. Doesn't bring compassion. Then you know what I'm saying? But then there's another cry when someone gets cut and they're bleeding and they come crying. And it's a different cry. And I'm going to tell you something. When you hear that cry, there's not a mom in the world that would sit there and say, if you break your leg, don't come running to me. Can you say, man? That's a little joke thing if you figure it out. It'd be hard to run with a broken leg. That's what I meant. Amen. Amen. There's a difference in the cry. When we cry from the heart for God's help, God who already loves us, his eyes are what? We're not trying to get his attention, are we? We already have it. Hallelujah. Amen. His eyes are on us. Why? Because his heart is set upon us. Praise the Lord. Do we deserve that? Absolutely not. He even said we didn't, and neither did Israel. He said, I don't love you because you're great in number. In other words, you're not a great people that deserve something great from me, but you're smaller in number than any people. And then he said, I don't love you because you're humble people either, as a rule. Amen. Because you're a stiff-necked people. You're hard-hearted and hard-headed. But that I might keep my covenant with Abraham. Covenant love is different. Because when God says, I'm going to set. Everybody say set.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm going to set my love upon you. Praise God. Amen. That means God loves you today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And because he loves you, his eyes upon you. And because his eyes upon you, his ear is open when you cry. You already have his heart.
Yes.
You have his attention. Wow, I'm glad of that. I wouldn't be here today if I had to come out crowing all the time to get God to listen to me.
Amen.
I can cry unto the Lord. I was coming out from a funeral. I was going through nervous exhaustion. I prayed for grace to conduct the funeral. The anointing came. I'd slept maybe 2 hours because of all of this other stuff that I was going through at the time. And I came out, and I remember that there was a man outside, and he told my wife, he said, there comes a strong man. See, he perceived me as so mighty and strong because of the anointing. And he didn't know that the night before I had taken one of the Freedom phones out into the garage at that time and got down on my knees. I didn't want to wake Pamela up, but I took it out in case I had to call because I was choking. I couldn't breathe, and I felt faint and sick. And I was tormented, and I went out and I cried unto the Lord. I got down on my hands and knees and cried unto the Lord for help. And I'm here today because God heard that cry. Because God's grace, because underneath were the supporting me was the everlasting arms. I couldn't stand on the mountaintop and claim the word and rebuke the devil and be strong. But I could be weak enough to qualify for the strength that comes through grace. You didn't hear me. I said I could be weak enough to qualify for the strength that comes through grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not something I merited because of my great faith, but something God granted me because of his great love and faithfulness. I don't want to be in control. Everybody wants to develop their faith to where they can get in control. You know what they'd like to do? They'd like to walk out and say, troubles Go away. Go away. Go and land on Doris Day. Can you say amen? Amen?
Amen.
You can't manipulate life your way. We like to think we can. It's the authority of the believer. Paul said, I was shipwrecked 3 times. Why didn't he go tell that storm to quit it? Can you say amen? Why didn't he just say, quit it? You quit it. Ain't no storm. Get out of here in this boat, have no storm. Now you quit it. Now they preach like that. Every time I hear it, I hear a rooster.
Yeah.
Come on. And I thought, you couldn't have followed Paul around the block, let alone on his missionary journeys. Come on, these boys couldn't follow him around the block. How about the 5th time they whipped you over a whipping post while you're confessing? Ain't going to happen. Ain't gonna. Oh, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. But it's happening. 5 times I was given 39 stripes. These guys wouldn't follow him around the block. Because they don't know nothing about the sufficiency of grace. They want to manipulate life. And really what's giving them their sweet life is not their faith, it's their money. Amen?
Amen.
Get under pressure. Take a sabbatical. Go to Maui for a month. Doctor told me one time, says, you need to take some time off. Pastor told me the same thing. I thought, okay, fine. Are you going to pay my bills while I'm sitting at home? You know, take time off? My dad tells me, because he wants me to spend more time with him, come on, you're working too hard. And I thought, who's going to do it? Who's going to do this? If I don't do it, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? Grace has to show up. Grace has to support. There's times when they would tell me, Sean has to get up and be to work at 3 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning, and he's here till that night, and I'm looking at him, and he's young, but I see it. I know he's not Superman. Amen. I have looked. His wife can verify this. Praise the Lord. Amen. I've looked. Amen. There is no big S under here. There's no big blue shirt with a red insignia. Can you say amen? And I thought, boy, wouldn't it be great? I wish I had that kind of money. I'd say, Sean, I'm going to pay off everything you owe, and I'm going to give you $100,000 until you get situated and just take some time away. Well, but wouldn't it be nice? I remember one time I was going through some real heavy problems. Wouldn't it be nice? I'd love to have it to give, and he'd love to get it, and we'd both be happy. Can you say amen? Listen, the head now, it's not A.W. Rasmussen, but his son. You know, A.W. Rasmussen, he come up, you know, he was down 85 years old, and he was going down into the Philippines with a dugout canoe way back in the boonies of the Philippines to preach to headhunters the gospel of Jesus Christ. When he was 85, he was doing that. Got malaria, almost died. They were treating him for the flu, and he had malaria. Amen. But God brought him through. Hallelujah. And now his son just kind of evolved into that after he passed away. He ain't been down no dugout canoe and went through all of that. So he's a psychologist, and he's also the head of Independent Assemblies of God. And he's a nice guy, don't take me wrong. But one time he called me up, and I was working 6 days a week, taking care of the church, taking care of my mom and other things. And he called me up and said, Brother Venable, said, I just thought I'd give you a ring. You know, I've never met you, but I know you're affiliated with our organization. And he said, I was just tooling around today. I had some, flew into Miami for a meeting. I was just tooling around and had a rental car, and he's just driving around. And I was getting ready to go to work. I worked the afternoon shift. And I'm tired and wore out and give out. And I owe, it's off to work I go. Amen. And he said, why don't we just get together and maybe go have lunch? And, I thought, he don't live in my world. He does not live in my world. And he told me where he was coming back from. He had ministered in England. And he said, coming back from England, I thought, Asia, somewhere. Anyway, you had to get near Hawaii on the way home. You could. So he said, I thought, well, on my way home, I think I'll just stop and spend a week in Hawaii. Wow. Hey, man, I've never been on my way home from anywhere I preached and went to Hawaii for a week on the way back. Can you say amen? Just, you know what I'm saying? I think I'll just, you're not in my world. This is not my world. We have nothing in common. I have nowhere to go. I can go to work. Amen. But you know what I mean? I can't. If grace doesn't kick in, I can't go somewhere to recover. Grace has to kick in. And it did. Hallelujah. I'm glad to report His grace is sufficient. His strength is perfected in weakness. I cried unto the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you're in a deep valley, pray anyway. God is already watching and listening for your cry. And He can distinguish your prayer. And I'm going to tell you something. Amen. That cry from that heart from to that God who loves you so much, I believe has more import and impact than the
Amen.
Because God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And what does He do with that hand? He will exalt you in due season. When He sees you can take it and give Him the glory. You can take it and it not spoil you. You can take it. There's a lot of people. You say, well, what about these people that have these big ministries? Well, not all big ministries are bad. There's some big because God has blessed them. There's some big because they're telling people what they want to hear. And the people's money has made them big. And television has made them a star. Television made me a star for a little while. I was on one broadcast talking about Dungeons and Dragons and spiritual stuff. One broadcast of Channel 22. And 6 months later, I went to Merritt Island to speak. When I walked in the church at Merritt Island, there was a guy watching me. He punched his wife and said, and I thought, and I could read his mind. He said, I know that guy. And I thought, well, I don't know him. And so I thought, well, what's this all about? And he pointed again at me. After a while, he couldn't stand it anymore. Just before the service, he come up and says, sir, I just got to ask you a question. He said, wasn't you on Channel 22? And I thought, yeah, I was on there one time about 6 months ago. He said, I thought he was going to ask me to sign his Bible. Can you say television gives you instant credibility. Ernie Lee could have never made it in Nashville. But boy, he was a celebrity in Tampa. Just give me Dixie, where folks are smiling. You remember Ernie Lee? How many remember Ernie Lee? I like my coffee good and brown, a little browner than they make downtown. Oh me, oh my. I got the coffee. But that's not going to be a hit in Nashville. But here in Tampa, he was a celebrity. Go to Florida State Fair. Where's everybody going? To see Ernie Lee. Oh, yeah. If you're too tired to go fishing, you're just too tired. If you're too busy to go fishing, you're just too busy. Amen. Humble and contrite spirit. The people that are truly standing, authentically supported by God, are standing because they humbled themselves before Him, cried unto Him. And when the victory comes, they don't give their faith the glory, their anointing, their gifts, their revelations. They give God the glory. Can you say amen? And that's exactly how God wants it. That's exactly how He designed faith to work. That's why He used the term great faith when He saw humble dependency. Can you say amen? How many has been rescued before? God has come through for you. Hallelujah. I want you to listen to this song and maybe you will understand. You know, let me tell you the story that we're going to see the song set to music. They're in the boat. Jesus said, you go across to the other side. I'm going to pray. And I'll meet you on the other side. Yeah. Didn't say I was going to get there. Just said, I'll meet you there. Amen.
Amen.
So they said, okay. And so they set out. When they got in the midst of the lake. How many's ever been to Okeechobee? Lake Okeechobee. It's like the sea, man. I'm telling you. That's why it's so big. When you can see it from space in Florida. This huge. And when it gets really worked up, it's really worked up. It's like the bay. It even gets white caps on it when the wind is just right. Incredible. This was the Sea of Galilee. And when they got in the midst of the sea, the storm got so bad. The storm came up. It got so bad. It looked like it was going to sink that ship. And they were looking. And they saw what looked like an apparition. They said, because what they were seeing was humanly impossible. I see the form of a man through the wind and the waves and the blinding rain. But I see the form of a man, but he can't be a man because he's not in a boat. He's walking on the water, serenely walking. I'll meet you on the other side. So he's walking. And let me tell you something. He don't stop walking. He's just walking. He's waiting for somebody to cry unto him. Amen? Just to simply call out to him. But first they thought it was a ghost, an apparition. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you. Now, watch this real closely. Because there's so much emphasis on the word. The word. Instead of the one the word exalts. One man said, I took my Bible and I opened it up. It's like a pop-up book. Said, I opened it up. And he said, as I read my Bible, a man stood up. Can you say, man? How many know if you open this Bible and you really get an understanding of what it's all about, a man is going to stand out? Can you say, man? Hallelujah. And it ain't you. And it ain't your favorite preacher. Can you say, man? It's Jesus. It's Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. Can you say, man? God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name that's named. Listen to me. And why did God exalt him? Because he humbled himself and took on himself the form of a servant and made of himself no reputation and was obedient even to the death of the cross. God has highly exalted him because he humbled himself.
Amen.
Listen to me carefully. Amen. Where were we? Oh, we were. Peter says, if it's you, Lord, bid me come to you. And Jesus said, it is I. Come. And impetuous Peter, he jumps out of the boat and he don't sink. Everybody say, woo-hoo. He don't sink. And he starts walking the water toward Jesus. Somebody said when he got his mind off the word, it wasn't about just the word come. He had his eyes on a man. Thank you. If you try to stand on this word and get your eyes off the man, you won't sink. And not just the eyes on the man so that you don't sink, but the eyes on the man that is the only way he ever intended you to walk on water was when him upholding you with the right hand of his righteousness.
Amen.
God did not intend. Nobody's ever walked on the water without his support for very long. You're going to sink. God didn't. Oh, if he just kept his mind. Well, then you go out and walk on the water then. Come on, let's go down the lake. We ain't going to baptize. I just want to see you walk. Just, well, the word says I can have what I say and I say I can walk on the water. Come on. Let's all go down to the river. What's the televangelist? Walk on the water. I don't think so. I don't think so. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. If you're going to talk the talk, let's walk the walk. I don't believe God intended for Peter to walk on the water. Peter's the one to ask him to come. He didn't ask Peter to come. He said, come on. There's a lesson here. Peter jumped out of the boat, started walking on that water, and he realized, I'm walking on the water. And he realized something else too, and not calm water either. There's a storm out here, and it's bad. What if I... There he went. He went down. He went down. See, and while he was walking toward Jesus, Jesus wasn't standing there, said, see if you can make it. Jesus knew what was going to happen.
Yes.
And Jesus was walking quickly toward him. Because when Peter said, are you getting this?
Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
When he said, Lord, save me! The Bible said immediately. Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Pulled him up. Took him like this. Now we're into faith. See, you're not independent from Jesus. The faith of this book, you're totally dependent on Jesus. Did Peter walk the water? Supported by Jesus, yeah. Did he walk the water because he just had faith in the Word? No. Were we intended to? No. Because then your faith would be in your faith instead of your faith in His faithfulness. And He never designed faith to make you big and make you crow, but to keep you humbly dependent on Him. Can you say, man? But the good news is that cry was heard and responded to immediately. And Jesus lifted him up, walked with him back to the security of the boat. And Peter never tried to get... Later on, Peter didn't say, well, I missed it then because now I know how to do this. I've got all these tapes by so-and-so. Yeah. Amen? I got a boatload of tapes here. Told me how to keep my eye off the storm and confess only the Word. No, he knew the reason. The reason that I was able to walk back to that boat on that water is because Jesus had a hold of me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Don't ever get into a message that makes you more independent from God. Get into one that makes you more dependent on Him, because that's how He designed faith to work. Because it keeps you out of pride. Keeps you. He that's of a humble and contrite spirit, I will what? No wise. I will never turn away. Has the clock stopped or am I doing better? I'm doing better. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then there's one other occasion in the boat. A storm comes up. Jesus is asleep in the hinder part of the ship. And it gets worse. And they assume this boat's really rocking. It's about to take on water. If we get turned sideways, we're going to be overwhelmed by this storm. And they go and shake Him. And here's their confession of faith. Don't you care that we perish? And yeah, He wanted them to have more confidence in Him than that. But He didn't expect them to still the water. Because you're not in the God class. It's faith in Him. He stills the water. Amen? What He was questioning was when they questioned His care for them. He said, don't ever doubt because there's a storm that I don't love you. Don't ever doubt because you're in a storm that I don't care for you. What I want you to do is cry unto me. Can you say, man, don't quit praying. Everybody say, don't quit praying. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't throw in the towel. God's eyes are upon you. His ear is open to your cry. And He walked to the front of that ship and He said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. God responded to their cry. Did He not? Did He come through? Did He bring them safely through? Yes, He did. Did He pull Peter up and did they walk the water together? Hallelujah. Yes, they did. But Peter took no credit for his faith in the Word causing him to do the supernatural. It was what the Word showed him about Jesus that caused him to do the supernatural. And what the Word showed him about Jesus was, apart from Him, what can you do?
Nothing.
Faith doesn't change that. Can you say amen? You still can't do nothing. You can sink, but you can't stand without being supported by Him. And thank God He promised to never leave us. Never forsake us. Isn't that a good and gracious God today? Can you? I'll turn this switch off, and brother, would you let this come before we close? Are you getting this message today?
Amen.
Praise God. Somebody's going to come up out of your valley because you're going to cry to the Lord. You're going to pray anyway.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Is the river that I have to cross, heavy the weight on my shoulder. I have discovered how great is the cost of trying alone to cross over. I try and I try, but the current's too strong. It's pulling me under, and my strength is gone. Don't leave me stranded. Rescue me, my God and my King. The water is rising tonight.
That's Christian victory.
Amen.
That's how faith is supposed to work. That's how it worked in your Bible. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's how God designed it. Because you never get proud and you never work independently from Him. But you stay dependent on Him. We're going to close with that in just a moment. I want to just skip to this ending here and say something to you. Praise God. No matter what your attitude, pray anyway. When you don't know how to pray, pray anyway. Ignorance is no excuse. When you don't feel like praying, pray anyway. Depression is no excuse. God's ears are open to your cry. He's waiting for you to call unto Him. When dullness sits on you like a vulture, when you can't muster enough enthusiasm to change channels, much less pray, pray anyway. Boredom is no excuse. When you see no need to pray and no reason to intercede for those about you, recognize this is a sign of impending danger and pray anyway. Blindness is no excuse. When you've grown spiritually lazy and feel that you'll never be able to pick up your Bible and read it the way you once did, especially then, pray anyway. Laziness is no excuse. When you don't understand what the big deal is about prayer and you think it's overrated because it never did you much good, pray anyway. Immaturity is no excuse. When you're too tired to remember your own name and you know God will understand if you don't pray, pray anyway. Fatigue is no excuse. Can you say amen? When you're embarrassed to be back before God confessing the same sins and admitting the same failures, come on! Defeat the devil and pray anyway. Shame is no excuse. When you've been unfaithful and you know it and you feel that burden of guilt that makes you want to run and hide under the porch, pray anyway. We confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive our sin. Sin is no excuse. When the nagging voice of the enemy keeps telling you there's no God, and even if there were, He'd never have anything to do with a nothing like you, pray anyway. Unbelief is no excuse. We can bless ourselves immeasurably by rescuing our prayer life from bondage to our emotions and our circumstances. There is no time and there are no conditions in which prayer is not necessary, not helpful, and not the right thing to do. So let us pray.
Hallelujah.
Anyway. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Sunday night, we're praying for revival. While praying for revival, I'm watching people compromise and slip away and make concessions. I'm going to pray anyway. Can you say amen? While praying for revival, I have heard from those that have a fatalistic view that believe because of the sins of America, it's no use praying for this nation. Amen. They kind of want to watch God judge it, not realizing it is not His will that any perish, but that all have eternal life. And I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. Can you say amen? Choose life that you may live. Praise God, I'm going to pray anyway. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We pray for souls and not see one conversion, but I'm going to pray anyway, because one day God is going to come down if we keep praying. Can you say that? One day he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Pray anyway. Hallelujah. Go ahead and play that. I want everybody to stand today and get ready to pray anyway. Praise God in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just give Him praise before we leave here today. How many are going to cry to Him today? When you're tempted, when you're tired, when you're in a dark valley, when the answer seems like it's not coming. How many are going to pray anyway with me today? Hallelujah. Bring that right up, brother.
You may have lost your faith somewhere along the way.
Think about it.
You try so hard but wonder if it's all worthwhile. God hears you even when you don't know what to say. Pray.
God.
I'm feeling so ashamed with only you to blame. How could God forgive the things that you have done? But he says, come to me.
Yes.
I'll give you joy and peace. And I know you think that you're not good.
Praise today.
Pray anyway. When you're broken inside and you've been stripped of your pride, you gotta just pray anyway. Here's why. 'Cause he's bigger than the mountain or the problem you face. There's nothing that he can't handle when it is covered by
come on, church. I believe God will increase us. I believe God will multiply us. Hallelujah. Listen.